After being launched onto a pirate ship via slingshot, a timid boy becomes the newest member of a crew of quirky buccaneers. Now he must adapt to a new life of llama lookouts, unusual islands, and slapstick ship battles. Can this quiet landlubber learn to navigate the very loud world of piracy? Find out on Silent Pirate at silentpirate.com.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 212 of the Webcomic Beacon podcast here at webcomicbeacon.com. That is right, the Webcomic Beacon, a webcomic-based podcast revolving around topical discussion, guests, tutorials, and other web cartoonists since 2007. This is our fourth anniversary special here as we enter year five. We started way back in 2007, and we're going to be headed into year five. Really exciting. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com, and with me, we have Tanya Higgins from DaisiesAndShitProductions.com.
Hello, hello.
And Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
And we are broadcasting live right now. The Webcomic Beacon has tried to broadcast live, I think, almost since the beginning of the show. I'd have to go back and listen to make sure, because I'm pretty sure I commented on it, but that is
what
something...
What do you mean, today?
Yeah, not this show, but like
the whole programming.
Yeah. Oh, the whole thing. Okay.
Yes, yes. In 2010, the Webcomic Beacon broke off a sister program called the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, and that's been going on for a while. We had Ross Scott from SystemComic.com, who was the host until recently. He had a step down because, well, he has lots of other stuff he needs to do. So he stepped down, and you can listen to his little goodbye on, I think it's the last newscast, episode 44. We have a new host for that show, and things are seem to be picking up, just going along just fine, just like that. The Tropecast has started up again. If you've missed out on that, check out the Tropecast, which was also spun off from the Webcomic Beacon podcast. We've, of course, rebranded the website as the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, and since added even two more shows, including Web Fiction World and First Issue. Go ahead and check that out at webcastbeacon.com. This episode is very special. It's our fourth anniversary special. We have two sponsors for this episode, and since I did say that I would have more than one sponsor for this episode, they would get extra exposure, including, well, Family Bones is a comic that is a graphic novel. There's two volumes to it. That's one of our sponsors, and he's been sponsoring for a while. That's at familybones.kingtractorpress.com. I believe you can check that out. In fact, he had sent me a couple... Well, he sent me the Family Bones two-volume set for me to do a review of, as well as it's they're going to be put in the next giveaway, and I think that's going to be in March. I'm going to do another giveaway. We have a giveaway right now. We have several things to give away, and if you had your chance to enter, now it's too late. The doors have closed for your chance to enter.
Yeah, you losers.
Yeah. So you can go at webcastbeacon.com/giveaway for until I switch it. This is where I'm going to put the current giveaway. So once this one goes, where we have Theater Hopper, the first 3-year collections, Bittersweet Cannibal, the huge 580-page hardcover comic book, volume 6 and 7 of Doc Rat, and the first comic issues of Zombie Ranch, Demon Graphics, and Variables.
Yeah. Can't win if you don't play, folks.
Right, right. There's four prize sections for this one. So that is really cool. I will not be going over them today as far as picking names, because I got to like get everybody's names, write it down, and put them into a hat, and then draw them.
But, are you really using a hat?
Yeah.
All right.
But today, I also want to mention our other sponsor is, do you guys remember, what is it? Ahmed Fahim or Fahim, I forget what his name is. He did the anti-social comic.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's sponsoring with his new comic called Silent Pirate. And that's at I just had it here. It was Silent Pirate. SilentPirate.com. So that's his new comic. And I really hope Ahmed Fahim, that's his name. I got his first and last name mixed up. So that is our second sponsor, and will be bringing us up back in later on in the show. First, but right now, I'm really sorry for all this delay. I'm just really excited trying to get all this. We started a little bit late, but we have a special guest on the show. Somebody told me, JT from BetweenFailures.com told me, hey, you should get strippers for your anniversary. I was like, nah, wait a minute. I know a stripper web cartoonist. Let's get her on the show. So we have KK Skipper from PinkPartsComic.com. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
How's it going?
I feel like we should be playing the classic music. Da 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 da.
All right.
Looking like a man who doesn't go to a lot of strip clubs.
I don't get out much.
I don't think I've heard that song recently.
That might have been, I think I was to a strip place twice, maybe. I don't remember. Anyway. Okay. So we have pink parts. Imagine what that could stand for. Skipper, tell us about your comic Pink Parts.
It's a look at life behind the scenes of a strip club, because a lot of people, you know, people who have been to strip clubs or people who haven't, are really curious about what it's like to work there. And as soon as I started being a stripper and my friends heard about it, all the questions I got were, what's it like, how can you do that? So I'm trying to answer some of those questions.
So is this an autobiographical comic or a sort of gleaned story?
Somewhat. None of the characters are exactly me. Some of my experiences are in there. Some of the other things are stories I've heard from other dancers or from my fiancé, who used to be a DJ in strip clubs.
Oh, cool.
Now that's handy.
I know, isn't it?
That is nice. Super handy.
So, do you have any other history with making comics before Pink Parts?
Not really. I've drawn since forever, on and off. And I wanted to do comics, but I could never find an idea that lasted for more than one page. And then I put together the ideas of telling stories about strippers, which are always awesome, and drawing, and it just kind of came together.
So, Pink Parks is, I'm gonna assume, is a fictional place. But
yes, it is.
It also revolves, it mainly seems to revolve around a girl named... Well, her name isn't Bubbles, but I think her stage name is Bubbles. Is that right?
Yeah, she goes by Bubbles.
And so tell us a little bit about Bubbles.
Bubbles, well, showed up at the club, and I don't want to give any spoilers, so I'm just going to say she wouldn't tell anyone why she was there. But she was designed because I figured having a new character would, one, provide, you know, the interesting stories of all the stumbles that a newbie makes, because, you know, I made every one of those, everybody does. And also, it would be a good way to bring other people in, and, you know, having the other girls there and everyone else educate her helps to educate the readers as well.
Yeah. Cool.
Without having the info dump. The dreaded info dump.
See, right. Bob.
Exactly.
No, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that people should keep in mind that this is likely a not safe for work comic when we link it. I mean,
more than usual is what you're saying.
Well, no, this is
go ahead and say we shouldn't put not safe for work, because if you can't figure it out,
you deserve that fun.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
you
thus far,
get sent to HR.
Yeah. Thus far, it certainly is a comic. It is one of our not safe for work as some of our previous links. to Not Safe for Work content. This is mostly for nudity. Whereas like other comics in the past had a little bit more going on, and I'm pretty sure that's not really where you're going to be going with this comic. It's because
it's just definitely not aiming to commit to porn.
Right, right. So in doing a comic like this, what are some of the riffraff that you might be getting? Do you think you might be getting a little bit more than, say, any other webcomic, or are you getting more specialized?
I don't think so. I mean, I have, you know, my trolls, but everybody does, and...
We don't. You
know, lucky bastard. But, no, I figure it's kind of the same thing that I put up with in the clubs. You know, there's always that guy on that night who you're like, oh my god, why is this guy here? Will he just shut up and go away?
Right.
And... you get them online, too. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people that I've spoken to, of my fans, have been really great.
That's awesome. Have you... okay, in doing a comic where there is nudity, was there anything you had to consider as far as, like, where you're hosted or dealing with the ads that you put on your site?
I haven't had an issue with hosting. I'm hosted through GoDaddy, and they really don't care what your site is about. ads, I did definitely have a problem with. I wanted to put Project Wonderful ads up, but I think right before I started my site, they enacted a new rule that they will not put their ads on adult sites anymore. So there are plenty of sites that are grandfathered in, like Ogiloff.
Yeah.
But they refused me because of the adult content, and for a while... I went through a network that did porn ads, but I really didn't like those.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm with Google Ads now, and I think I fall under the category of art for them because they don't allow adult content, but,
right.
You know, nudity in art is a different category, so I think that's why they keep me on.
Well, that's cool. I know it certainly can be challenging for those, especially the ones that aren't just making, you know, straight-out porn.
Right, exactly.
You know... If I had like a lot of money, I'd probably look into doing services like that, because I think there's a lot of potential money to be moved around, because nobody seems to want to fill that niche.
Yeah, it's one or the other. Either they want to be completely safe for work and safe for families and children, or they want to be all porn all the time.
Right, right. And I have no problem with either of those, in concept. But, yeah, you just, if people get left out. So, all right. So
they get so much hassle, though. If any company that handles both, they get so much hassle. And, I mean, I can understand why they kind of choose one or the other, but it does suck.
Are you planning on printing this comic? And if so, do you know where will they let you?
I don't think I'll have a problem finding someone to print it. I've thought about it, but the way that I shaped my pages, I think, is going to make it a little hard for me to print it because they're not a traditional comic book size or a newspaper strip size. They're really disproportionately long, you know, height-wise.
Well, you can get custom sizes with... a lot of different places, the print-on-demand places, and if you, I don't know, I have no idea what your audience size is, but you know, offset printing places can do custom sizes as well, so
I'll probably have to do something like that.
Yeah. Let's see here. Mark!
Yeah?
Are you the one tapping away at your keyboard?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe I was.
Okay. You've been awfully quiet on here, and if I like to do anything with you, Mark, it's like to make you a little bit awkward.
pot kettle.
There is that.
No.
You were the one who tweeted yesterday that you wouldn't mind doing a nude scene except for random boners.
I did say that.
That you might have. And I was thinking, well, just make an arrangement so that there aren't other guys in the picture.
Huh?
What?
then you wouldn't be in danger of them. That's all I'm saying.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Having them or drawing them?
No, I was
actually...
Are
you talking about you having them, or are you talking about other fellas having them?
No, I meant like you know, when you get like a person to pose for like a life drawing class.
Uh-huh.
And it's like...
You know that there are
I wouldn't mind being in the class. Why,
right.
Are
you getting like adolescence in there?
No, it was just like
puberty and can't control.
It was like a random thought, you know. I could be the guy, the naked guy standing there. I'm pretty sure I could do that. The only thing that I have a problem with is if I get random boners from just being there, then I get embarrassed because I'm in front of everybody.
Again, though, you do realize that these are classrooms full of adults, and adults know how penises work.
True, so. But it's still embarrassing.
Well.
I don't even know what to say at this point.
I mean, that's sort of...
It's cold. Does that help? Like, right? Typically art rooms are sort of open and drafty, you know, tile floors. The chill should assist.
I think we lost Skipper. I think it was too much for her.
They might say they don't want to pay you as much.
Bring her back.
Like, look up the way. I don't know.
Did we scare her away?
I think my random boners scared her away. It wasn't... I mean, they weren't directed at her.
They weren't erected at who?
No, they weren't directed at her.
Oh, directed. Oh, directed. Sorry. Yes.
I think she's back now. I don't know how much she actually heard.
I
heard none of that, unfortunately. It sounded awesome.
Oh, good. All right. Well, you'll have to listen to it after the MP3 goes up later this week.
I hate the sound of my own voice.
Well, then you'll never know.
I'll just listen to your section. I'll have someone fast forward it to there and listen to that.
I used to hate my own voice back, what was it, 4 years ago.
Way back.
I didn't like listening to my voice either. I mean, I think I'd just grown tolerant of it.
Or maybe you just, you know, tuned it out.
Maybe.
Like parents with screaming kids at the restaurant or something.
Yeah.
You just tune it out.
I think we all hate the sound of our own voice because it's not how it sounds in our head.
I don't really...
Sounds. We all hate the sound of our own voice, don't we? Yes, we do.
No. I don't hate this. It's the sound of my head is now the sound that I hear on the podcast because I've heard it so fucking much.
But the sound in your head should be different because of where the sound is going.
No, like, it's also...
It should sound different. There's a physical property. There's a physical difference.
Yeah, in your head, there's this echo chamber.
I understand that, but no, it's like... it's like, because I hear it so much, it's like if you are...
No. What your voice really sounds like over the layer in your head.
No, I'm not... No. It's like if you watch Batman the Animated...
That sounds kind of like this, and he sort of talks a little like this.
If you...
No, my name is
if you watch Batman the Animated Series and you get that voice in your head and then you go read, like, say, Batman the comic book, you might have that voice in your head, you know, the voice from the cartoon in your head as you're reading. So it's your mental, it's your mental, the remembering of a voice that's overlaying. Hi, we have a...
What does this got to do with stripping?
How do you get into stripping?
That was random.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to get off this somehow. And that's, I think, you know, the number one question I've heard people ask whenever they meet anybody who's doing any sort of, you know, sex entertainment work is, what made you decide that? How did you get into that? What was the...
The simplest answer is I was really bored with food service. You know, I worked in kitchens and restaurants, and I fucking hated it.
Yeah.
And I read Jenna Jameson's autobiography, which was an awesome book, by the way. If you get a chance to read it, do.
Yeah.
And she made stripping sound really, really fun. And I figured, you know, I needed to save up money because I was going on study away the following semester.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of all came together, and I was like, oh, I'll look for a club. Why not? There's one nearby. What the hell? I'll try it. You know, if it doesn't work out, I can go back to my job in the stupid kitchen.
Yeah. I'm always amused when I see, like, the protest groups and they talk about, you know, the causes of stripping. And I think, no, college. The college cause. Is the cause of most stripping, as far as I know.
The cause of most stripping it's is like, people taking their clothes off, isn't it?
Like, I am broke. And if I have to serve another asshole a plate of mediocre food, I will go insane. And the hours are good.
Yeah, I much prefer to stay up late at night than to get up in the morning and serve grumpy people.
Yes, I completely understand.
So, I want to because the question is going to come up, regardless.
Okay.
And you know, I was like, I already know the answer, but the answer needs to be said. Is there sex in the champagne room?
There shouldn't be.
All right. Shouldn't be ideally.
Not supposed to.
Depends on the club, doesn't it?
On the club, exactly.
Well, yeah. Well, I was going for a definitive no, but if you want to leave that mystery there, go ahead, I suppose.
Unfortunately, I have to, but I never had sex in the champagne room. I can give you a definitive no on that.
All right.
Not just no, but hell no. Yeah. Okay.
I just have to, you know, it'll get brought up, and so I figure I'd do the responsible thing. It's like,
see, that's funny to me because I thought that was kind of like self apparent. Like we all know that things go on that aren't supposed to go on, but.
Well, I was gonna go for the typical no. There's no sex in the champagne room, but no, there's a gray area now, I suppose. But yeah, not that people should.
Well, there are, in the CD clubs, it definitely happens.
All right.
Otherwise, I've been in some seedy ass places. It really depends on the club. Like, there are clubs you walk in the door, and as you hand over your ID, you know there is nothing shady going on there. And there are clubs before you get to the door, you know there's some serious shady going on there. So it means
there's
just
places
like
that you need a tetanus shot just to walk into.
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There have been places I didn't want to sit down. I've been to places where I stood up the whole time because I just was afraid of surfaces.
Okay.
But I'm a little bit of a germaphobe anyway. But yeah, it's just like any other club. You go to, you know, if you go to a nightclub, you know, walking in.
All right, I guess I don't get out all that much. And Skipper, I guess you also got out. You got out of. Of doing stripping because the place that you are working at started turning into a more seedy. Is that correct? I think I read
Yeah. My first club, I left because the business there was bad. There was another club relatively nearby where there was a lot more contact and it killed our business. You know, I heard one too many times. I asked, do you want to dance? And I heard, oh, if I want to dance, I'll go over to this other place. So I went over there. And I worked there for a while. And then I didn't exactly get kicked out of there, but I dumped the bartender, who was also in charge of scheduling the girls, so I didn't get scheduled anymore.
Ha.
And after I came back from my study away, I moved on to the club where my fiancé used to DJ most of the time, and it used to be amazing, but it had gone so far down, I got through 2.5 days and left and went, oh god, never again.
Jeez.
That's too bad.
Well, already, are you thinking about getting back into stripping at any time in the future, maybe? Or is that kind of done for you now?
I'd love to.
Okay. What about doing, like, a burlesque show? Which isn't entirely, like, stripping, like a strip club, but a burlesque show. Has that ever piqued your interest?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. I haven't looked into it very much. I don't know what there is for that kind of thing around here. I know that all the strip clubs around here are too scary, which is why I haven't made an effort to go back.
That's a good reason.
You know, burlesque kind of thing.
Right.
It tends to be smaller, the pay tends to not be so good, and they tend to expect kind of different skill sets. Most of the burlesques around here expect you to be able to sing and dance and all kinds of things. But
wear
tassels. Tassels aren't that difficult to manage, dear.
Oh, well, I don't know nothing about
it. A little bit of skin.
Hell, I've done tassels,
glue.
And I've never been a stripper, so.
Okay,
well.
That's just the thing.
I mean, burlesque is nothing but one big wardrobe malfunction, right? I mean, I don't know. It all kind of comes off.
It's a It's a very stylized one.
Yes. And as much as I'd like to talk more with Mark about tassels, we are at the end of our first section here. We are going to have to say goodbye to Skipper as we go to break and then get our next guest on the show. But Skipper, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And once again, everybody can check out Pink Parts at pinkpartscomic.com.
Which is a brilliant name.
Thank you.
All right. Well, have a good day, and we'll catch you later.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Family Bones is a graphic novel based on the true story of the oldest married couple on Missouri's death row, Ray and Faye Copeland, as experienced one summer by their unwitting nephew. The writer Sean Granger is the actual great-nephew of Ray Copeland, and deftly blends his own experiences with those that he's gleaned from the rest of the family into one very horrible tale. Family Bones is a true coming-of-age American Gothic. The fish-out-of-water city boy fights to survive a summer on the family farm with a pair of serial killers. Sean is trapped on the Copeland farm, a slave for his uncle. The heat simmers his skin to a full boil until the neighbor's beautiful daughter appears. Wendy quickly becomes his hope, desire, and fear, not to mention his one trusted friend. Together, they discover each other and some very bloody family secrets. Pick up Family Bones today, available everywhere. More at familybones.kingtractorpress.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at WebcomicBeacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Webcomic Beacon 4th Anniversary Special. And we are here for the second segment. And anybody who's listened to our programming at the Webcast Beacon Network, we've occasionally used music for our breaks from the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. And with us, we have a couple of artists from said website. Let's see here. We have Devo Spice. Welcome Hello. To the show.
Hello. Great to be here.
Well, I hope so.
And I'd reserve judgment, really.
Yeah, well, okay.
It's early yet.
And we also have, he goes by the name Sea Monkey. Welcome to the show.
I'm so excited. I was just following Devo Spice's enthusiasm.
Well, I'm trying not to blow out my microphone right now, so.
I understand. I'm just kidding with you, Devo. Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. So, before we get started, I like to ask, I want to know about The Fump. Tell us about how The Fump came to be. What is it?
It's basically all Rob's fault. Rob Balder had this, the whole story is that myself, Rob Balder, and Jonathan Colton were guests at a science fiction convention in 2006. And the three of us were on a panel together, and nobody showed up. So the three of us just sat around for this hour talking about, you know, our various projects and the music and everything. And at the time, Colton was doing his Thing a Week project and hadn't really blown up yet. Mm. But Rob is a webcomics author and has been using the free content model to build a success, build a fan base and a successful career around giving your content away for free. And it never occurred to him that somebody could do it with music until he saw what Colton was doing with the Thing a Week podcast. And he thought, you know what? If he can do it, we can do it. And he approached me and Tom Smith and Shoebox of Worm Quartet and the great Luke Ski and a bunch of other people. And he said, let's get together and do this. You know, I think the eight of us can equal one Jonathan Colton if we put all our music together. And we launched in January of 2007, and we post a new song every Tuesday and Friday. There are now, there's still 8 core artists who run the thing. We're sort of like the board of directors. But there's, in total, there's about 40 different artists signed up.
Wow.
Who all take turns submitting music. And then every 2 months we put out a compilation album. We have subscribers who get higher quality versions of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 2 levels of subscription, one for just the downloads and then a higher level one to get you the compilation CDs as well automatically.
Cool.
And we're doing great. We're profitable. We're, you know, moving right along. I've got a bunch of changes planned to the site to add some more features and stuff. So
okay,
things are going great.
Awesome. And that's right. You know, the songs that we use for any of the Webcast Beacon Network programs, those are kind of down quality because our podcasts are put out at a 96 kbps. But you can buy 320 kbps files from the FUMP if you really like any of these songs. So there is that for everyone to enjoy. The other place we've used is something called musicalley.com, which I think you guys also have an account on there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I go in and post all the songs that get posted to FUMP by cross post to the PodSafe Music Network at Music Alley.
Yeah, I've tried going there and it's like there's like a spot to buy a track, but it's like always faded out, and I don't know what's wrong with that site if they're not
actually selling. Artist has to specify the that they want to sell it there, and it's a whole process, and the site doesn't really work all that well, so.
Yeah,
there's issues.
All right. Well, I'm trying to not to be like, haha, we're taking these songs. It's like, no, it's just, if you want to sell them, go get them. They're a buck. It's a small price to pay for one's long term enjoyment.
Yes.
So,
sorry.
What?
Okay. Oh, you may not know this, but that's an actual sales line for a brand of vibrators.
Which
what?
It's a small type. It says it's a small price to pay for a lifetime of enjoyment. It's
really? Line for a brand that's the of that's vibrators. The buzz, huh?
I claim no prior knowledge to this product.
That's the buzz.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So. See, now you made one of our guests disappear.
You wave it around like a lightsaber. Does it sound like that?
I am your father, Luke.
Till the batteries run out. I don't know. I'm just.
Is there a song like this on the FUMP we can segue into?
Let's see. I don't think we have any songs about.
There's actually one in my head, but I wouldn't dare record it and put it on the FUMP.
I am your daddy.
Wow.
Yeah, by the way, if your vibrator ever says I am your father, you need to throw that one away.
Start
new. I don't know. That could be a whole new line of product. Make a lot of money.
Oh, no.
No, no, no. Only guys like that.
If it extends out.
Mark, just settle down.
Just saying.
Settle down, Mark.
Am I actually back on the air now?
You are back on the air. And unfortunately, for Mark... he's probably going to get some lashings later. Anyway, we have, I wanted to try to, get into this. The great Luke Ski isn't on the show, but he's one that I know, he's probably been in for several people because I've heard of him first because I attended a convention in which he's been at. And then later on I found out more, oh, hey, there's the Funny Music Project and such. I know that he's been on something called the Dr. Demento Show. Has anybody else from the FUMP been on this?
The FUMP has dominated the Dr. Demento Show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so could you...
Since we launched, literally over half of the songs in the 2010 year-end countdown were FUMP songs.
Wow.
And it's probably going to be similar this year. I mean... It's just Dr. Demento has been so supportive of the FUMP since we launched.
Cool.
We had a quote on our site from him on one of his shows. He said it was the best thing to happen to funny music since Al went weird. and I'm planning to put that quote back on the site soon. But yeah, so we've Dr. Demento still does his show. He's internet only at this point. So you have to go to drdemento.com and pay. I think it's $2 for a stream to listen to the show.
Yeah. Okay.
But he is still doing his show every week, and he is still a big supporter of the FUMP. He plays our music all the time.
Okay, so I wanted to ask about the Dr. Demento show. Now, I have to admit, I really don't know much about this, but I'm pretty sure this is also where Weird Al got his start.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
So for other people like me, could you explain a bit about what the Dr. Demento show is?
Sure. It started in 1970 as a sort of like an oldie show. And he found very quickly that people were requesting the novelty songs like Beep Beep and Transfusion and Monster Mash and stuff like that.
Dead puppies.
Well, that didn't come till later. But so he started focusing on the comedy, on the novelty songs. And the show just kind of took off. And it was syndicated, I think, in 1973. And by around 1980, the show was at the height of its popularity. It was on at about 250 radio stations nationwide. And that was when Weird Al hit the show. So Al's timing was perfect. He hit the show just as the show was at the height of its popularity. So Al recorded a song in studio called Another One Rides the Bus. And it was a Queen parody, obviously. And that song went viral. The radio stations at the time were begging Dr. Demento for copies of that song so they could play it outside of the Dr. Demento show because everyone wanted to hear it. And that was what launched Weird Al's career. He had a bunch of early hits on the Dr. Demento show and then formed his band and then started shopping himself around to record labels and finally found one who would take a chance on him. And he hasn't looked back.
We have a smart comment from the chat room by Melissa. It says, Fess, you've lived in Minnesota all your life. How have you not been familiar with Dr. Demento? And it's like, I hadn't been a very good nerd. I'm really sorry about that.
Shame.
I knew I was born in 73, so Dr. Demento's kind of like been part of my life the whole way through.
I remember listening.
Yay,
to Dr.
a beer.
Hey, they're coming to take me away, haha.
Ha.
Dead puppies.
Dr. Demento was only on briefly in all the places where I lived, so I only got to hear him, occasionally for like a couple of years, and then the station would drop him or whatever. Yeah. So when he started doing the show online, I started listening more online.
Well, so. That's cool. Well, we certainly want to direct people to give that a listen, as well as, of course, checking out the Funny Music Project at thefump.com, which you guys have free downloads every. Well, they're always available. Like the most recent ones are downloadable. It looks like.
Yeah, the songs on the homepage. The eight most recent songs are available as a free download. Once they move to the archive, you can still stream them. You can still listen to them for free. Mm-hmm. But if you want to download them, we ask for 99 cents, and you get the 320K high quality.
Right, right. So we haven't gotten Sea Monkey in here to talk much.
Well, Devo Spice is such an encyclopedia.
Right,
of
right.
Knowledge.
I'm the one who funds the FUMP. I designed the program. So.
Right, right.
I have a question for Devo.
Okay.
Just have your encyclopedic knowledge, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Devo Spice, when did my hemorrhoids get so bad?
Last
what was
February.
The progression of, what was the progression there? I mean, it crept up on me, huh?
I think it was when you decided to start doing the Boobles project.
Boobles? No, I think it was back... I think it was back when I joined on with the FUMP.
That's possible too. Yeah.
All right. So we have a segue. What are the Boobles?
The Boobles are. It's basically in a nutshell. It's all Beatles, all boobs, and it's all for a cure for breast cancer.
All right.
And basically, just as the Sea Monkey, I was always looking for things to parody. And I was listening to the Beatles a lot at the time, and every song that I listened to, I could do something about breasts to the song. And I mean, like literally, I've written probably 30 different Beatles songs with something to do about boobs. And so I was like, okay, here, concept album, that's what we'll do. And then I thought about it a little more because my mother-in-law is a 9-year breast cancer survivor now.
Mm.
Oh,
And so, you know, I was just, we were going to the walks and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff and wearing the pink to support her and, you know, all that. And I was just thinking, well, maybe I could just use this for good and not my usual evil purposes. And so thus the Boobles was born as a charity project. It's just a fun, you know, kind of a fun way to, you know, extend comedy music out there to, you know, to do a, you know, something, I guess, just to help the community, if you will. Mm-hmm. If you'll go as noble as that with me.
And I'm always impressed. You know, it's always impressive when boobs can help.
When can they not?
They're helpful things.
Exactly.
I'm just thinking, hey, Jude is the most obvious one. Hey, boob, don't let me get.
Actually, our version is fake boobs.
Nice. There you go.
Can take your flat chest and make it bigger.
Oh, boy. I did want to
make it bigger.
You seem to have. I'm looking at the songs by this artist under your profile on the FUMP. I don't want to say that you're maybe trying to do this charitable thing to compensate for the high level of squick tagged songs that you do.
Squick.
I don't think it's a compensation. You know, I'm not trying to say my musical Hail Marys with this or anything.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, I don't really readily tie in Sea Monkey to the Boobles, you know,
right,
as far as web presence, just because of that, as you said, the squick nature of the other thing.
Right, right.
but the songs on the FUMP are, I would say that's not really the most, you know, accurate representation of the Boobles. Because when I formed the Boobles, I went out and I got, at first I just, you know, had the idea and I said, okay, I'm going to go try to record these things. And so I did put one on the FUMP called Buying Brassiers Together. And that one, I mean, it's nowhere near the Beatles, okay?
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if I think I asked Devo to go back and say, you know, would you put demo on this or something, you know? I think I asked him if we could even remove it at one point just because it wasn't an accurate representation. But, you know, what happens on the FUMP actually stays on the FUMP. So, but anyway, so if you go to theboobles.org, that's theboobles.org, then there's song samples on there. And we've got one album out, and we're working on the second one. And that's why you haven't seen a lot of new Sea Monkey stuff, because I've just been funneled into this for the last couple of years. Yeah. And it'll probably take me through 2012, and we'll try to get another album out next year. And it's going to be called Booby Road. and we're tackling the more, interesting, psychedelic, more, you know, those types of songs of the Beatles and on the second one. So it's a little more intricate. And actually, I've asked Shoebox to sing a song called I Am the Lard Ass.
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Oh. Yes.
And that's about having big man boobs, of course.
Yeah, nice. Boobs.
Yes, yes.
And we're doing our version of Lucy, and we're actually going to have a good version of Buying Brassiers Together on the second album. And I'm telling you, I mean, we got string quartets in to record stuff, and then we slow it down, and then we record other tracks of that, and then we speed it back up. You know, we've done our research on the Beatles, so we're trying to make it sound Beatly.
So if you play one of these songs backwards, you say that Paul is dead, or Paul's an A cup, or what? I mean,
no, yeah, it actually says Paul is a woman. Paul's a girl. Paul's a girl.
Paul's a girl.
Yeah, pretty disturbing.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And that's theboobles.org. And all the links that we're going to be mentioned on the show will be on our show notes. This podcast will be, if you're listening live, this podcast will be available on this coming Wednesday. That's what we tend to do, record on Sundays and have the Webcomic Beacon come out on Wednesday. Mark, it sounds like you have to get going for some other things.
Yeah, I have something I gotta go do, so I gotta split.
All right. Well, I'll have Devo and Sea Monkey stay on the line. We're gonna say goodbye to Mark here, and then we're gonna take a break, and then we'll come back for the third segment.
Hi everyone, Julie Sidor here from SnowflameComic.com. I've been listening to the Webcomic Beacon for pretty much since you guys started. I'm reading your website, and it says for the 4th anniversary giveaway, you want people to leave usable voicemail with questions, comments, and criticism about the show. What the fuck, Beth? It's the 4th anniversary. If you keep asking, you can ask some people to heap on mindless praise here.
Won't you shoot me now, 'cause we're going to buy some brazier to hold up her spears. So I'll just calmly pace about buying braziers together. I really hate shopping for clothes, grabs my hand and goes to the department store lingerie aisle, and I think most men will agree. Someone shoot me now, 'cause we're going to buy some brassieres. They're on sale at Sears, so nothing to get hyped up about. Walks by and asks if I'm finding things all right. No thanks, you've just made things get worse. Would you kill me now? 'Cause we're going to buy some brassieres. I feel so weird, so I'll just hang my head and pout. She said to me, put my head in the dressing room, and I must have heard her wrong, but I can't tell over the screams. Please don't kill me now, 'cause we're going to buy some brassieres. I'm out of here, I'll be in the car while you check out.
That was Buying Brassieres Together by The Boobles, found at theboobles.org. Be sure you spell that right, theboobles.org. The Boobles are a comedy music project created solely to raise money for breast cancer research and for treatment and a cure through the ultimate trifecta of timeless music of The Beatles, the power of comedy, and that which has captivated man for centuries. Boobs! So go ahead to theboobles.org and buy their first album today, as all the money, all the proceeds go to Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So go ahead and check that out. Because I used to actually have breaks, and then funny stuff would be said, and then I wasn't recording. I was like, damn it.
Right.
Nothing blackmail-y, just, you know.
You'd at least have, you know, soundboard material that you might not otherwise have.
Exactly.
I've not really utilized a soundboard. It's
it was typically something that I would rather have my mother not heard. That was about it. That seemed to be the general.
You told me to I took it out, right?
You took what out?
Did I?
Whoa.
No, you've never taken it. Put it back. No, you've never taken anything embarrassing that I've said.
Well, no. But see, you've not told me.
No, it's not like, oh God, my mother's gonna know I'm a perv. Like, she knows me. It's not a secret. It's just, you know.
Well, you never know with that. I mean, it's like I didn't come out as a web cartoonist to my family until last year.
Okay, no. I am taking that phrase from you. You do not get to say come out and as a web cartoonist.
Right, right.
No. I deal with people who, like, come out and get kicked out of their homes and, like, beaten up.
Okay.
No.
That's irresponsible of me, then. I apologize. But you understand what I meant.
Yes, you didn't cop to it.
Right, right.
Hey, can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
Can you marry another webcomic artist? I mean, is that allowed by law?
You know, the sad thing is, it is.
Do I need to vote on something for you? Or?
You know, it is allowed, but I don't think it's recommended, actually.
I wouldn't recommend it, no. They'd never see each other.
Yeah, they'd never, and they'd remain poor for the rest of their lives.
Well, I know, at least in the state of New Jersey, it's legal for a comedy musician to marry another comedy musician.
Wow, it is Jersey.
Because Carla Ulbricht married Joe.
Yeah, okay. Blaspheme. So.
Right.
You know, I'm down here in the Bible Belt, so.
Ah.
I'm sorry.
Of course, you know, if you listen to my songs, it does, you know.
Mm. They run you out of town then, I suppose.
You sound a little bit. The accent kind of screams Bible Belt a little bit.
Do I scream Bible Belt?
Not you personally, just the accent.
Yeah. I've honed it so well.
You might be screaming stuck in the Bible Belt a little bit, but that's all good.
Yeah, it's home. I need to do it. I wouldn't know what to do in Jersey, you know? Like, seriously, everything I read about Jersey and, you know, hear from Devo Spice's songs and out of his mouth and his blogs or whatever else, I don't know if I'd make it.
You know what I love best about Jersey? Is the teeny little deer. They're like little dogs. They're super tiny.
Teeny little deer?
The teeny little deer.
That's not what I think of when I think of New Jersey.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of green in New Jersey.
We have a lot of deer. We have a lot of bears. I never considered them being really small.
They're tiny. They're so tiny. Really? I live in Colorado. So, okay. Like, our deer are, you know, head height, and they can kick your ass. And the little white-tailed deer I saw out in Jersey, they were like minis.
Well, don't they have a hunting season in Colorado?
We
it's
have
the water up there in Jersey.
Yeah.
The deer's growth, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, we of course...
They go down to the river and drink from that water, and then they just don't grow anymore.
And they're just stunted. They're tiny, fat, little, round, doggy deer.
Alrighty.
What if on a deer cat? That's never...
Come here, deer.
This has never happened.
Come here, Bambi.
We started out talking about boobs and wound up talking about, like, animals. That's never happened. It usually goes the other way around.
Yeah, we started the show. We had a stripper on the show that also does a webcomic. So we started off with the stripper, so that was awesome.
Scandalous.
Yes, scandalous. And so it's all downhill from there, of course. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks.
No, I'm just kidding. You guys got plenty of music about boobs.
Went first, so I'm like, yeah.
No, I think this is a great time to mention that this program has been sponsored by... Silent Pirate of silentpirate.com. It's about a kid who was launched via a slingshot onto a pirate ship and then became a timid silent pirate. I'm gonna actually splice in a proper audio clip during one of the breaks for that. And we also have a sponsor, Family Bones, at familybones@kingtractorpress.com, which is about a kid who had lived with his serial killer aunt and uncle for a summer. Those books, he sent me those books. I'll be rereading them for a review, and they will be the next. They will be in the next giveaway that we have. People who have been listening for the past month know that we've been, last couple of months, we know that we have a Webcomic Beacon giveaway that was they had up until today to sign up for. And after this show, I'll be writing down everybody's names for their entries, and I'll be looking at all the comics that people have sent in for reviews and for giveaway. And you can always check out webcastbeacon.com/giveaway for more information. And after this, like I said, there's going to be another giveaway, which means the ways to enter will stay the same and people can continue to enter for the next one. And we've gotten one of the ways to win, one of the ways to enter into the drawing was to draw us Becky art, where we have, you know, the covers of our shows will feature our mascot, Becky Beacon. And a lot of web cartoonists have drawn art for us. And in the last couple of days, I actually got like four. So it's like, yes, yes. That always makes me happy to see other people do interpretations of Becky. So that's really fun. And right now we still have Devil Spice and Sea Monkey from the Funny Music Project. And let's see here. Devo.
Yes.
Let's see here. I see one of the things I wanted to ask is at the top of the website right now, you have that you guys are a winner of the 2009 Parsec Award for Best Speculative Fiction Music Podcast.
Yes.
Wow.
What does that mean?
Really specific.
Wow. Okay. The Parsec Awards are they're a podcasting award designed mostly for fiction podcasts. So people who write fiction. And specifically what they call speculative fiction, which is sci-fi, fantasy, horror. It's kind of a catch-all phrase.
Okay.
And so they had, I forget what year it started. It was like 2006, I think. And they give it out every year at Dragon Con at an award ceremony. And so it's mostly for like writers who podcast their novels or short stories or whatever. And they, you know, they have categories for like best audio production, best short story, best novel, stuff like that. In 2009, they added a music category, and a lot of our songs are sci-fi related.
Okay.
So you know, like one of our biggest hits was the Great Luke Ski song "Battlestar Rhapsody," which has an awesome fan-made video for that. If you look around YouTube, somebody took clips from Battlestar Galactica and put it to Luke's song, and it's fantastic. So, you know, we took samples of some of our more sci-fi related songs and sent them to the Parsecs and got nominated. And I went down there in 2009 specifically for the ceremony. I'm friends with Mer Lafferty, who was co-hosting the event at the time. And so she said, you know, come down, I'll get you on stage. We'll do a couple of songs in between the awards. So I did that. And then when it came time for the music award, we won. And so I was there to receive it, which was awesome.
Cool. Let's see here. I've seen Luke Ski at a couple of conventions, but are there any, you mentioned Dragon Con, are there any conventions where the FUMF, obviously not in its entirety, but like the FUMF itself certainly has a presence if you want to see like a handful of artists perform?
The big one is MarsCon. Which takes place every year in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And I think it's the Holiday Inn right near the Mall of America is where it normally is.
Okay.
And that every year they'll have usually between 15 and 18 comedy musicians on the bill.
Cool.
And almost all of them are FUMF artists. Great Luke Ski runs the music track, so you know he knows who is available generally when, and he does try to mix it up a little bit. But that's the big one. You can go to marscon.org for information on that. And the other big one coming up is Deep South Con, which is taking place next June in Alabama. Dr. Demento is going to be a guest. We're having like a dozen or so FUMF artists there, and that's also going to be the second annual Logan Awards, which are a comedy music award that Rob Balder started earlier this year. And the first one was just given out in October at Con on the Cob. So yeah, comedy music has its own awards now.
Sweet.
And it's a really cool looking statue too. It's the Logan Whitehurst Memorial Award for Excellence in Comedy Music. And Logan Whitehurst was a comedy musician who passed away at the age of 29 of brain cancer.
Hmm.
And he did a song called Robot Cat, which is a really cool song. It's like a pseudo rap song. And he, so Rob based the award statue on the robot cat. So it's actually a physical robot cat that you win when you get the award.
Really sweet looking.
Yeah.
I want a robot cat.
Yeah. The info on that is loganawards.com, I think, or loganawards.net. I forget which. So with the second Logan Awards are going to be at Deep South Con in Alabama in 2012.
Cool.
So those are the two ones coming up where the FUMP is going to be there. I will be at both. I'm also going to be at Aresia in Boston, but I think I'm the only comedy musician on the bill there.
Okay.
And I got a bunch of others coming up.
Let's see here. Looking at your site, actually, if you said you were going to be redoing the site or updating it a bit, I think unless it's I'm not seeing it, a spot of seeing, hey, when you're where are your favorite FUMP artists going to be performing next?
Yep, tour dates is planned. I'm planning to. The other thing we do is every week the great Luke Ski and I co-host another podcast called the Funny Music Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we interview the two FUMP artists who were most recently released a song. So we do this every Thursday night live on dementiaradio.org. And whenever possible, we have the artist who released the song in the last two slots call in so we can talk about the song. And on that show, we have a news segment, so we'll mention any new releases or anything or events coming up. And I also run down tour dates for any FUMP artists who are coming up. So I do that every week. We also just recently released a FUMP app, which I believe has tour dates in it.
Okay.
So for iPhone and Android, we have an app. There's an app for that now.
Awesome. Let's see here. Do you have people trying to release a snipe release songs to try to get to be on the show, or do you have a set schedule for song releases?
No, we have a set schedule. The way it works is we have a Google Calendar set up, and then I have an internal system that I programmed set up so that the user will pick a date from a drop-down menu of the upcoming slots that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So they just select the date that they want. And it's usually we schedule about a month in advance. So right now, you know, December is full. We're scheduling January.
Okay.
So they pick a date that they want, you know, click the button, and that automatically adds them to the Google Calendar so that the other artists can see who is going where.
Nice. Let's see here. One thing I wanted to bring up, which is really, really funny. Well, basically, how I utilize, when I first started, like, adding music to our podcasts, because I figured it's something nice to have something a little bit extra for the breaks, and so I looked around for, like, pod-safe music, and what I would do is, like, I'd figure out what the overall theme of the show was, and then, like, type in that word to try to, a word of that or a theme, and see if there's a song titled that will match the show. Mm-hmm. And a couple of times cats have come up. And so when I
played a lot of Mark Gunn, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually there was this one song by the Worm Quartet called "God Damn It, Mark Gunn, Shut Up About Your Cat."
Yes. Yeah. And the best part about that is that, Worm Quartet, me and Mark Gunn were all at Icon a couple of years ago. So Shoebox and I got to perform "God Damn It, Mark Gunn, Shut Up About Your Cat" in front of Mark Gunn, and at, you know, and this was also at in a full auditorium with about 500 people in it, and it killed.
Lashing.
It absolutely loved it, and you know, and Mark knows about the song. He's got a great sense of humor, so he was okay with it. And we told him ahead of time we were going to do this. So at the end of the song, we were like, "Come up on stage and chase us off stage, wheeling your, you know, the auto harp like a weapon." So he did that. So right at the end of the song, we're like, "Shut up about your cat." And he comes running up on stage, you know, brandishing his auto harp above his head and chased us off stage. It was awesome.
That's awesome. And this segues into a song idea that I saw from a friend's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
This is from JT, who does Between Failures. Actually, he gets mentioned twice on this show already.
He did.
Yeah.
I know.
That's at betweenfailures.com to check out his comic. He had a tweet that was basically like Sir Mix-a-Lot, only it was like Sir Meows-a-Lot. And I got to thinking, well, okay, the chorus for that has got to be Ladies Got Cats, and it's about a cat lady, or it's from the cat's perspective or something like that.
Nice.
So if anybody wants that, I say go for it. But because I tried to come up with something for a song, and it's like, I don't have the time. Here, just here, you guys, you take that idea if you want it. There you go.
Oh, I see from your website you've been at PenguinCon.
Yes, I have.
Because we do, past couple of years, there's been a big FUMP presence at PenguinCon.
Mm-hmm.
We did a bunch of whole bunch of concerts there last year and the year before. I don't know if it's going to happen this year because there's been some changes at the con. But
There's been some what's?
Some changes as far as who's running what at the con. So I don't know what's going to be happening here.
We've discussed that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm going either because we actually we've gone
3 years running.
3 years with Mark and Tanya, and I basically met a whole bunch of people, and then they changed a lot of things. So it's not like I don't know if I can go.
Likely going to be there again this year, but yeah, it's most likely.
Yeah,
I'm not sure yet.
Just I'm waffling between if I can get together with some of the people from my group and like record something like with the video camera, and I've got a green screen, if we can come up with something, I will totally go so that we can just record something. But I'm likely not going to have a table, and I think I missed the performances last year because I've had my own panels and I'm sitting at a table, so but
yeah,
I was like, I forgot.
We all know what that's like. You know, you go to cons to be part of the con, and you miss everything. So.
Yeah, which is why I refuse to work at ICON. That's my favorite. it takes place in the spring in Long Island every year, and it's just so much fun. It was my first convention as a kid, and I performed there every year since 2000. And I can't bring myself to get a table there and miss all the stuff that's going on. I just refuse to do it.
I'm kind of sad because my first year at Dragon Con, I'll be working.
Yeah,
that sucks. I've been looking forward to that for years. I've never been able to make it out. Now I'm going to be stuck behind a table. Ooh, hiss.
I just had a failure with the Skype chat room. No, the Ustream chat room. Let me test that to make sure it's still working. Seeing if anybody has some final questions for our guests, or I guess for us, if they want to. Nope, I guess not. So, I think we're...
Ask Devo anything. Remember, he's an encyclopedia.
Right.
Kind of like Ask Jeeves, but it's like the ginger Ask Jeeves.
Right.
Well, at least, you know, Devo has hair. Jeeves, I don't think he has any hair anymore.
Yes.
Yes, Devo does have hair. Although, I don't really know what's under that hat.
Now, there's a full head of hair under that hat. I'm not going bald. I'm getting the Bud Abbott hairline with the widow's peak, but I'm not going bald.
I thought maybe there's like, since it's close to Christmas time, that maybe, you know, it's like Frosty the Snowman's hat, and there's a bit of magic in it. And like when you put it on, then you like magically have funny rap lyrics.
That's where all my song ideas come from. Yep.
It's
from that magic hat. I knew there's something about that hat.
All right.
She tapped into like the cosmic power of the universe through that hat.
I need better hats.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
The trick is to paint it yourself. Buy a blank hat and paint it yourself. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Get right on that.
That implies talent. You know? Talent for painting.
That's the idea, yes.
If you get somebody else to paint it, do you get, like, secondhand powers?
Yeah.
I can deal with secondhand. Like, I'm okay with that. Used powers.
Yeah, Devo, do you get, like, fan portraits and things sent to you in the mail?
Rarely. Kobe LaCroix did.
But it's happened.
It's happened, right. Yeah. Not in the mail, but emailed. I did a show with Shoebox in Rochester a couple of years ago, and there was a guy in the audience who drew caricatures of all of us. And then Kobe LaCroix did a full caricature of Cirque du Soleil with the sketch comedy group I do with Luke Ski, Shoebox, and Chris from Power Salad.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
I've got those.
I have a co-host on the Webcomic Beacon newscast, which has drawn people as My Little Ponies.
Alex
Eberling. She's drawn, I think, a good portion of that guy with the glasses crew as ponies. maybe I can hey draw these people as ponies as well.
She's really good.
Yeah, she had a joke on her autobio webcomic one time, where her boyfriend Chris is saying, it's like, I'm not judging you. Your bachelor is judging you. Your bachelor of arts is judging you, because that's what she's just drawing pony commissions right now. It's like, well, you know, whatever pays the bills.
I was going to say, I've watched her at conventions, though, and she's churning out freaking ponies.
Right, right. Yeah.
Make it where you get it.
Yep, yep.
I'm not a proud person.
Right. Hey, have you guys ever seen Cat's Creepy Art?
No.
It's this girl gets, like paintings of scenes, you know, that people have done, you know, like just a nice cottage off here in the woods and stuff like that, or a mountain scene, or and paints something like zombies walking through the field, or like, here's the what's the ice monster from Empire Strikes Back?
Wampa
or something.
Wampa.
Yeah. Here's a nice mountain stream scene, you know, and she's painted a wampa over there, like with an arm and salt. And
oh my God, I want the Wizard of Oz one so bad. I did a search and found the Etsy shop, and the first thing that comes up is the Wizard of Oz. They're like all zombified on the yellow brick road. There's blood leeching unicorns.
Let me tell you, she had a Black Friday sale, and I took advantage of that. Friends are going to be getting some prints. Anyway, here's a little tip for you listeners.
Oh my God, she has one where the DeLorean runs into the TARDIS. That's hilarious. Damn it.
Check that one out, Diva.
Yep.
That would be awesome, yeah.
All right. Well, I think we are at the end of our string rope show. And,
yeah, I have shopping to do now.
Yes.
yeah, exactly.
So, Devo,
speaking of shopping, if I might just interject one more thing, on thevoobles.org, you can get our CD package, and it comes with a sticker and a couple of postcards now, and you know, stuff like that. And it's $15, but I wanted everybody to know that all of that money is donated to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. We the Boobles don't get any of that. We don't profit from this at all. So when you buy a Boobles CD, you're basically, you're making a donation to breast cancer research, and we're just giving you something fun, you know?
That's very cool.
Awesome.
Stocking stuffer.
Devo, do you have any last-minute plugs?
Sure, yeah. My latest album, which is called Gnome Sane. Two words, Gnome Sane. Gnome Sane?
Gnome Sane?
Yep, that's available at devospice.com. That is also $15. And I just want everyone to know that when you buy that, the money goes directly to the Buy Food for My Kids Foundation, because I don't have a job at the moment. So.
Two charities right here on your anniversary.
Donate to breast cancer and to feed needy children.
Yeah.
Specific needy children.
Yes, very specific.
My needy children who are running around upstairs making a ton of noise right now, which you can probably hear.
No.
If you save boobs, then you can feed more children.
Yes.
That's also true.
You make a compelling argument.
It all comes back around.
Yes.
It's like a big circle of life here on the 4th anniversary show.
Absolutely. And after this episode, the Webcomic Beacon is entering its 5th year of programming. And everyone can be sure to check out more at webcastbeacon.com for all of the programming that's available. And I would like to say thank you once again to Devo Spice for coming.
Well, thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Thanks to Sea Monkey for coming.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Giving me the opportunity.
And you guys are... Well, thank you very much. And you guys can check out their work at, well, we'll get all the links in the show notes, because there's like a slew of links, but you can check out their main site, their collective site at thefump.com. I have been Fess of ArdraComic.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesAndChipProductions.com.
Mark.
Honey, Mark left long time.
Shoot, that's right. And we had... I'm so used to Mark closing it out. And we had Mark of AutumnLake.com. Thanks to everyone who came to listen in the chat room. And come back next week, because I have a pre-recorded show that will be next week. Otherwise, we won't have a live show until January. So stay tuned. You know, I thought he was just being quiet, like usual.
I love how it went all maternal. Like, maybe you'd lost your mind finally, and I felt the need to bring you back.
Finally.
Honey.
I'm still looking for it.